Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to them, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In celebrating the festival of St. Matthew last week, we missed out on the gospel reading appointed for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. It included Jesus' challenging parable of the dishonest manager, along with his application, "I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." Besides urging this sort of shrewdness in how we live, Jesus also warned against an ungodly regard for money. "No servant can serve 2 masters," he said, "for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Following Jesus' teaching, Luke reported, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed Jesus. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." With today's parable of the rich man and Lazarus following just a few verses later, it seems likely that today's parable is a continuation of Jesus' response to those Pharisees, where he had spoken the parable of the dishonest manager primarily to his disciples. His parable today aims at the lovers of money who ridiculed him. Jesus begins this familiar parable by introducing a rich man and a poor, sick beggar named Lazarus. There was a strong tendency in Jesus' day to regard a surplus of possessions as a blessing from God, and therefore also an indication that such a person had earned God's particular favor. On the other hand, those who were poor or sick were often viewed as having earned God's displeasure. Even as Jesus begins the parable, he does a couple of things that suggest that that's not the case here. The rich man was living large. He was a poster child for conspicuous consumption. He dressed in the most expensive and luxurious clothing. Every single day was a celebration at his house. He feasted sumptuously every day. Now, it's not that there's anything wrong with having a feast, perhaps not even a sumptuous feast, though that might begin to lean toward excess. But to feast sumptuously every day, that is certainly too much. It far exceeds what is necessary to support the needs of this body and life. Indeed, it would likely cause all sorts of ailments that result in premature death. Yet daily feasting isn't the most grievous sin of this rich man. Besides this, he ignored the poor beggar who laid at his gate. Although he had an abundance of rich food, the scraps the poor man dreamed of eating remained for him only a dream. And the rich man couldn't plead ignorance regarding this need. We find out that he knew this poor, sick beggar by name. This rich man was not living a godly life, was not being shrewd in the use of his wealth with an eye toward eternity. He was doing to the poor precisely what the prophets condemned in no uncertain terms. The poor man, with the sores all over his body, is unusual in that Jesus gives him a name in this parable. This certainly suggests to us that whatever the world might have thought of him, the poor man was someone who counts in Jesus' eyes. And could it be a coincidence that the name of this helpless man, Lazarus, means the one whom God helps? Only when both men have died does the most important distinction between the two become explicit. Lazarus, Jesus said, was carried by the angels to Abram's side. The rich man, he relates cursedly, was buried. It would be surprising if there hadn't been a big funeral, likely followed by another sumptuous feast. But that certainly didn't benefit the rich man at all. He couldn't enjoy anything of that in the fiery torment of Hades. This marks the end of what we might think is the lesson of this parable. Really only the first lesson, and not the most significant one, which could pretty much be summed up by Jesus' teaching earlier in this chapter. I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. In his use of his riches, the rich man was opposite of shrewd and prudent. He lived as if this life is all there is. He did not serve God, but money and the food and luxurious clothing it could buy. And in the end, his choice did not serve him well. But we need to be a bit more particular about the lesson here. The fate of the rich man certainly warns us against using all of the possessions that God has entrusted to us in a selfish and self-serving way. Does it follow, though, that we can expect a heavenly reward if we are poor and sick? Should we seek out bad things on earth because they in some way guarantee us comfort at Abram's side? Jesus doesn't say explicitly why Lazarus ended up where he did after death. But the interaction between Abraham and the rich man helped clarify that this isn't simply about being poor instead of rich. I should probably note that the conversation which takes place doesn't seem intended to help us understand the relative positions of heaven and hell, nor to indicate that there will be communication between the two. Instead, Jesus uses this conversation in order to teach about the vital importance of listening to God's word. In torment, the rich man begins by pleading with Abraham for mercy, some relief from the suffering he's experiencing. Abraham, however, responds that this is not possible. Jesus could have concluded his teaching here, and the Pharisees would have heard a powerful condemnation of their attitude toward money, as well as an urgent warning that unless they stopped scoffing at Jesus' teaching about hypocrisy and the proper use of possessions, they would find themselves sharing the fate of this rich man. But this isn't the lesson, at least the main lesson, Jesus is concerned with conveying in this parable. As the conversation continues, the rich man finally shows concern for someone else, his five surviving brothers. He begs that Abram send Lazarus to warn them so that they don't end up sharing in his unpleasant fate. Abraham responds, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." The rich man responds, "No, Father Abraham. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." Clearly, this rich man realized that Moses and the prophets had been available to him. God's word was read on each Sabbath in the synagogue. It was repeated and taught each week. But that hadn't led him to repent. And he was convinced it wouldn't prompt his brothers to repent either. Here we see the real reason the rich man ended up in Hades. It wasn't his wealth. It was his spiritual condition. His attitude toward his possessions was a symptom of his unrepentant heart. This also clarifies why Lazarus was saved. It wasn't because of his poverty, but rather repentant faith in God.
From Hades, the rich man saw clearly that the only hope for his brothers was that they repent before it was too late, before death came also for them. But Abraham was not swayed. He said to the rich man, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone rises from the dead." God's word has the power to work repentance and faith, to bring salvation to all who believe. Nothing else is necessary. Indeed, if the word is rejected, nothing else will succeed. These words of Abraham almost unavoidably remind us of the Jewish religious leaders when Jesus called the brother of Mary and Martha, another Lazarus, from his grave. That didn't convince them. It didn't cause them to repent and believe. Instead, in response, they plotted to kill Jesus and Lazarus as well. Even Jesus' resurrection by itself didn't succeed in establishing faith. Remember what happened on that road to Emmaus that first Easter evening. Two men who had put their hope in Jesus were bereft. They knew about the empty tomb and the angel's words to the women, but still they were downcast. Yet beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, and their hearts were burning within them. And this was even before Jesus revealed himself to them in the breaking of the bread, which restored their hope and reestablished their faith. What are we to take from Jesus' parable this morning? Certainly it reinforces what Jesus taught in his parable of the dishonest manager, that each of us should shrewdly order our life in this world in view of the world which is yet to come. But there's more than just this. For here we see Jesus' love clearly revealed as he powerfully pleads with those who scoffed at him to hear Moses and the prophets, to listen to God's word so that they might repent and be saved. What a merciful and gracious Lord we are shown here. A Lord who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He has given his word through the prophets and apostles for this very reason, so that all people can hear, and hearing, believe. And he doesn't give up on those who have declined to listen previously. He calls them again and again, as he called the Pharisees in our text. Through his word, whether read in the scriptures or spoken by his followers, God urgently pleads, listen. Hear what God has done for you. Turn to him and believe. Receive all that he has prepared for you. Rejoice in his mercy. And living in his love, love one another. God grant you ever to listen to his word, to give it your sincere and careful attention, and to gratefully respond in repentance and faith to his glory and to your eternal good. In Jesus Christ, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.
Amen.